Welcome to Sports Mad Rez's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. Over the past week, we had three posts on sportsmedrez.org. That's res.org. On Monday, we described a study where the authors found that approximately 1 in 7 incoming collegiate athletes reported mental health conditions. These conditions were associated with a history of injury. Next, we described a study where the authors reported that to improve implementation of injury prevention programs, we need to adopt a multifactorial approach that focuses on coaches' education and linking program benefits to game-related outcomes. Finally, we introduced a consensus statement from the American Orthopedic Society for Sports Medicine and Patellofemoral Foundation on patellofemoral instability. If we take a closer look at that first post, we find that the authors reviewed pre-participation exam questionnaires from over 1,000 incoming collegiate athletes from 33 varsity athletic teams at one Division I collegiate institution. Each athlete answered questions regarding history of mental health, sport played, musculoskeletal injury and concussion history, post-concussion depression, and if they have ever been diagnosed with attention deficit, hyperactive disorder, eating disorders, or emotional disturbances. The authors defined a mental health condition if DSM-IV criteria were met. The authors found that about 1 in 7 athletes had a history of mental health condition. A history of emotional disturbances was reported by about 2.5%, eating disorders by about 7% of the athletes, and ADD-ADHD by 6% of the athletes. Individual sport athletes reported greater prevalence than the team athletes. Wrestling, women's rowing, and women's swimming reported the highest prevalence of mental health conditions, where cheerleading, baseball, and softball reported the lowest. The authors found that upper extremity, lower extremity, axial skeleton, and concussion injuries were all associated with mental health conditions. Among the 251 athletes that reported a history of concussion, only 2% reported post-concussion depression. The authors found that a lifetime prevalence of mental health conditions at this institution was low compared to the general population, where it's about 1 in 4 to 5 adolescents may have mental health condition. This could be attributed to several factors, such as athletic participation mitigating depression symptoms, having a sense of belonging, or due to underreporting of the mental health condition. While the prevalence is lower than the public, it should raise the attention of clinicians, as almost 1 in 7 athletes had a history of mental health condition. The authors also found an association of reported mental health conditions and injury history. However, further research is necessary to determine more information about this relationship, such as does mental health issues increase the risk of injury? It was interesting to see the difference in sports and reported mental health conditions. Athletes in an individual, high aesthetic sport, such as wrestling, rowing, or swimming, seem to report more mental health conditions compared with the team in ball-based sports, such as baseball or softball. Understanding how these emotional disorders and the demands of the sport are associated to injury history are important to move forward with injury risk prevention and education plans. Furthermore, it would be beneficial to see the lifetime prevalence and incidence of mental health conditions at other colleges and high schools. Currently, medical professionals should continue to screen and educate about mental health disorders. Don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. This past week's most popular post was a tweet sharing the International Olympic Committee's new ACL consensus statement, as well as the NATA's position statement, ATOAC's, and the OA Action Alliance statement on related areas. And if you're an athlete trainer who's looking for evidence-based practice to use, then please check out our 6 online courses available through the Human Kinetics website. We'll have links to these courses and the post on our podcast website and in our show notes. Remember, you can always follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.